But what are you guys all staring at? My goodness.
You had to lock one side of your face.
Right there. I'll tell them. Okay. So we've been learning, guys, about the law. Okay. So remember, I've tried to emphasize, a lot of times people think of the law and love as a dichotomy. Okay. It's a big fancy word. It just means a contrast. And I would say it's a false dichotomy. In other words, people think if you pursue the law, if you love the law, if you try to obey the law, then you're not going to be loving, right? That's the idea. Or if you're really going to be a loving person, then you can't have the law. The law shouldn't have anything to do with it. In other words, the law and love, they're opposites. You can't have both of them. So which one of those is true?
Neither.
Okay? I want to make sure you guys understand that, because so often in our world, guys, that's misunderstood. And so what I'm trying to really hammer down is the idea that the law, guys, shows us what true love is. We live in a day, guys, where there's a lot of things happening in our world, in our culture, in churches, and that people are doing because they're saying it's loving. But many of the things are not. So how do we know what love is? See, and what I'm saying is the Bible teaches us that the law shows us what love is. And so it says, Romans 13, verse 8, we've looked at it several times, owe no one anything except to love each other. See, God wants us to have a Christ-like, a Christ-exalting love for each other, right? For our neighbors, for our enemies, for the community. That's what God wants us to. But guys, we live in a dark world. Our sin makes things hard to... it's really hard just to know what real love is. And so that's why Paul helps us. God's word helps us. It says that we're to love each other. And then it says the one who loves another has fulfilled the law. Now, just to be specific what we're talking about, he goes on in the next verse. Look what he says. He says, the commandments... Tell me if you've ever heard this before. You shall not commit adultery. How many of you guys have ever heard that? Where have you heard of that? From the Bible. Very good. And the catechism, we've learned in the catechism, learning about the Bible. Where in the Bible? Are they part of something in the Bible? The Ten Commandments. Who knows which one?
The seventh
commandment. And then he says, the commandments, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder. You heard that commandment? Mm-hmm. Which one is that? Sixth. I think I heard it over here. And then he says, you shall not steal. Have you heard of that one? Which one's that? The eighth. And then he says, and you shall not covet. Which one is that? Close. The tenth. Okay, the tenth. And so he lists out several of the Ten Commandments. And then he says, and any other commandment. Okay, he says, they're summed up in this word, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. In other words, all those commandments are helping us to know and understand to be able to love our neighbor as ourselves. And then he says, love does no wrong to a neighbor. Now, this is where it's so important, guys, because how do we define right and wrong? See, it's God's word again. If we don't have God's word determine what's right and wrong, then we're not going to be able to love necessarily properly, biblically. And so he says, therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law. And so, guys, I want you to understand this, because this is so neglected, even among Christians, and this idea that the law is bad. And we would agree with Romans 7:12. It's always good to agree with the Bible, right? Yeah. And the Bible says, so the law is holy, the commandment is holy, righteous, and good. And so when we understand that about the law, we understand that the law is holy, righteous, and good, isn't it? Right? That's what we understand. Now, here's the thing, is the Bible teaches that as Christians, we're no longer under law, but under grace. So this is where it gets confusing, but the thing I want you guys to understand is what often happens is another danger. Okay? And so let's think through the commandments. You guys know this. How many commandments did God give on Sinai? Ten commandments. Right? What are these Ten Commandments sometimes called? God's moral law. Okay, in other words, God's moral law means it's God's commandments for all people of all time of any place. These laws apply. You shouldn't murder. Doesn't matter if you're an American living in the 21st century or if you're a Roman living in the first century. Murder is wrong, right? That's God's moral law. Now, later on it says this in the catechism, after it goes through all the Ten Commandments, it says, can any man keep these Ten Commandments?
No man is above
Bam! He said, that's right. The answer, biblical, is no mere man. It's important, mere man. Why? Because has any man ever kept the Ten Commandments? Jesus was fully man, but he's not a mere man. He's the God man. But no mere man, Jesus is the only one, no mere man since the fall of Adam ever did or can keep the Ten Commandments perfectly. Now this is what I want you guys to understand. If God gave the Ten Commandments for us to obey to get saved, then guys, the Ten Commandments are worthless. You understand that? The law is worthless. Because it can't do that. It doesn't do that. And so the idea we need to understand, some people might think the law is bad. It's not. It's good. But other people, guys, think the law can save them. They think the law can save them. And you need to understand, the law can't save you. Okay? The law can't save you. And that's what this is trying to teach us. So what's the purpose of the law? If the law can't save us, well, what good is it? Of what use are the Ten Commandments to us? You guys remember these? It's been a while. But let's look at each one. Number one, they teach us our duty. That's what I've been teaching you guys. They teach us how we love our neighbor. How the gleaning laws can apply to help the poor and needy. How the laws about justice. Two or three witnesses. You shouldn't just receive an accusation because somebody says it. Okay? See, there's justice in how we love our neighbors that we find in the law. They teach us the will of God. They teach us how God wants us to live. How we can honor Him. But they also make clear our condemnation. Okay? They show us our sin. The law, guys, is like a mirror. Okay? What does a mirror do? What do you see in that mirror? Pretty girl, right? Huh? That's kind of dirty, isn't it? Sorry. What do you see? You don't see a pretty girl.
I see you. Look.
One second. So, a mirror, guys, is intended to show us ourselves, right? Shows us who we are. Shows us what we look like. So, if I look in the mirror, what do I notice? Why didn't you guys tell me? I got whipped cream on my beard. So, you look in the mirror. Now, here's the thing. This is where it falls short, okay? Okay? Because if I see whipped cream, then I can take a mirror and I can wipe it off somewhat. Pretty good. There we go. Got it good enough. All right. And so the mirror shows us, well, something's wrong. Something's wrong. Now, with whipped cream, I can just wipe it off. But our sin, it doesn't. See, the point is this, guys. If we just look around at other people, we can think we're pretty good people. We might look at, I couldn't think of any celebrities, so I just want people I knew you'd know. Joe Biden or Donald Trump, I don't care which side you go. The point is this. If we look at people, especially crooked politicians, we might think, well, I'm a pretty good person. I'm not as bad as that one. I don't care which one or both you look at, okay? The point is if our standard is other people, then you could think, well, I'm pretty good. Surely God will let me into heaven. I'm not as bad as that person, right? And see, the law, guys, is the standard that comes and says, no, God's standard isn't any person around us. God's standard is perfection. What does perfection look like? See, it's the law. And so it shows us, it makes clear our condemnations. We might not be as bad as many people, but are we perfect? Is our Heavenly Father perfect? No. It shows us we're sinners in need of salvation. See, it shows us our need of a Savior. Guys, that's what the law does. It shows us we need somebody to save us because the law shows us that our problem, our biggest problem, isn't what other people do to us. It's not how our parents raised us. It's not anything like that. What's our biggest problem? It's ourselves. My biggest problem is me and my sin. Yours is you. And so let's look at what it says in Romans. It says this. Now we say that whatever the law says, it speaks to those who are under the law. So that every mouth may be stopped and the whole world may be held accountable to God. Who's accountable to God? The whole world is accountable to God because the law, written both on our hearts, okay, and written in stone. And then he says, for by the works of the law, no human being will be justified in his sight. What that says is, nobody gets to heaven by obeying the law. That's not why God gave it. No human being will be justified in the sight of God by doing good works. And then he says, but it's through the law comes the knowledge of sin. See, it shows us what's wrong. It shows us our sin. And then he goes on, it doesn't leave us there. It shows we need a Savior, but then it points us to the true, the one who can save us. The next verse says, but now the righteousness of God has been manifested, it's been shown, okay? Apart from the law, the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ for all who believe. See, our only hope of salvation, guys, isn't obeying the law. Our only hope of salvation is to trust Jesus who obeyed the law in our place.
Amen.
Who died on the cross to pay the penalty because we break the law. Amen. And it's faith alone in him that we can be saved. And when we're saved then, we've been saved by grace alone. It's then, guys, out of gratitude, what do? We want to honor God in our lives, don't we? How do we do that? God's law helps us to know what pleases him. So let's pray and ask God to give us grace to understand the gospel, to trust in Jesus, and to seek to walk in his ways. So let's pray. Dear God, we thank you for who you are. We thank you for the gospel. We thank you for the law that's a tutor to lead us to Christ. Help us to trust in Jesus. Help us, for those of us who know Christ as our Savior, help us to be reminded again of the glory of the gospel, that we are saved by grace through faith in Jesus our Savior. We're so thankful for him this morning. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you.